Welcome to the Global Research News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman, brought to you by globalresearch.ca. And I am always delighted to have Mickey Huff on the program. Regular listeners know who he is, but for new listeners, let me explain. Mickey is a California-based professor of history at Diablo Valley College. He's a lecturer in sociology at Sonoma State University. And, he teaches in so many places. I hope he's still at Berkeley City College as an instructor of critical thinking and media studies. And he's also associate director of Project Censored. Everybody has to know about Project Censored. And if you don't dare touch that dial, as they say, or used to say. Project Censored is an extremely important group. It works for us. It reports the most censored stories. It publishes them in an annual book. I think the deadline came yesterday for the new book, so I don't think it's published yet, but it will be when on its appointed date and then come out later in the fall. And it reports, it's hard to pick 25 because there's so much good stuff around that, in their words, gets underreported, ignored, misrepresented, or censored by the U.S. corporate media. But listeners to this program know that well, which is the reason you listen to this program. Last year's book called Censored 2009, The Top Censored Stories of 2007 and 2008 can be bought online at projectcensored.org/store. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk about lots of stuff. Mickey, welcome again.
Thanks so much, Stephen. It's a delight to be on.
Oh, it's terrific being on. I absolutely want to talk about what's new at Project Censored that you can talk about at this time. Can I mention a couple of other things right off the top? And you have an article that you sent me that you and Peter Phillips wrote about infotainment, junk food news. And I love the Neil Postman quote. I think I've used it a couple of times myself, saying years ago that we are the best entertained, least informed society in the world. Oh, there's no question about that. You want a stupid movie? Well, you can get 100 of them. You want news that will tell you absolutely nothing? Well, you can get around the clock. You want to know what's going on? Turn off your TV set, unless you get something like Free Speech TV or one of those programs. We sure don't get much of that in Chicago, Mickey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the Bay Area, you know, you'd be surprised to hear that there's little on the as you said, proverbial dial, as it were, and there's plenty of, you know, as the Project Censored founder Carl Jensen said, you know, the sort of Twinkies for the brain.
Oh, Twinkies indeed. That's a great line.
Yeah, Carl started looking at this, this whole category, this idea of junk food news back in the mid-1980s when, you know, some journalists criticized the project, which had been around since 1976, for saying, well, look, you know, some of the things that you're saying maybe are unfair criticisms because some of the things that get covered or perhaps then don't get covered are newsroom decisions or their news choices or their editorial choices. So it's not fair to necessarily call it censorship. So, I hear the music.
Oh, they're playing our song. Well, not college censorship, Mickey. My God, Pravda in the old Soviet Union days. They had nothing. They had nothing.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Project Censored. Mickey, can I shift topics briefly and then we can come back to junk news and what's new at PC and so on. Just two things that are on my mind so much. One was an article I wrote that struck a nerve and got me three interviews this week. I had one yesterday, one tomorrow, and the first one ever that I'll have on a Chicago radio station. Gee, somebody finally discovered that I live in Chicago. Amazing. Just astonishing. But it was one I wrote about the possibility that the Obama administration may mandate swine flu vaccinations for everybody. The swine flu business is an absolute hoax. There is not one single confirmed case anywhere in the world by honest forensic evidence, yet the World Health Organization declared a pandemic level 6 emergency. The World Health Organization is in the tank to the big drug companies. It really is outrageous. But the worst part of it is that these vaccines, all vaccines, every single one of them, the way they make them now, I don't know the way they made them many years ago, but the way they make them now are extremely dangerous. I was absolutely shocked. I knew there was stuff wrong with vaccines.
Well, you're taking on the pseudoscience sacred cow, Stephen, so that's maybe that's why you're getting some, oh, this guy's in Chicago, attention. Put him on the radio.
Well, I was on with a glorious woman yesterday who really is very expert at this, and her name is Reimer Labo, and she lives in Panama, and she was absolutely stupendous. She's been on all sorts of health issues for so long.
My wife is actually an expert on this topic. I should run the phone upstairs and put her on for a while.
Oh, my goodness. Well, does she agree or disagree with me?
Oh, no, she's in your camp.
Oh, well, I'm relieved.
Yeah, no.
We
do live together, so we're not the Mary Matlin, James Carville types, you know. We tend to be on the same side of the aisle.
Well,
that would be the page of evidence and, you know, factual support, and not the evidence of crass commercialism and fear-mongering.
Oh, absolutely,
and, you know,
Mickey.
One of the big companies that you're dancing around with right now is, of course, Baxter Healthcare. How they could put the word healthcare next to their name is pretty Orwellian. Now you're familiar, of course, with their avian flu the vaccination problem when they quote-unquote accidentally sent live samples or what have you over to Europe, and they had to stop thousands and thousands of them from going out. They're in line, from what I understand, to have some involvement with the so-called swine flu epidemic.
Oh, more than just a little, Mickey. They are producing round the clock to rush the stuff out.
I know.
And they're a division of the Bayer company, I think Germany-based, the same company that made the poison gas that executed people in the gas chambers for the Nazis.
Yeah, Bayer is right over here in Berkeley. There's
you're
a big Bayer outlet
too.
Over here, yeah.
Oh, it's a lovely company with a lovely history. These are the kind of people that produced poison back in the 30s, and they're producing poison. They never stopped producing poison.
Well, see, the problem with vaccines is they're based on what seems to be a logical premise. But it's just like a lot of other things. Once it starts to turn into a cash cow, all of a sudden, you know, you're sort of mandated. When you have a child, I mean, the medical industry, we'll call it, rather than, you know, the HMOs, you know, I don't really want to use the word healthcare. I mean, that's just insanity. They just put you on this treadmill schedule. And, you know, your kid is supposed to get this one and then these five and then these. And we're talking about kids, you know, we're talking about babies. We're talking about humans that are, what, not yet 2 feet tall and don't weigh 20 pounds. And you're pumping them not full of just these so-called weakened, you know, viral strains and bacteria or so on. You're pumping them full of a whole host of other additives and chemicals that have been linked to a whole host of health problems.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And I mean, anybody that wants to try to mention that or take it on, you're called a loony, you know, or you're called a Scientologist. I mean, you know, what was it? Newsweek or Time Magazine was just calling Oprah Winfrey a nut job, not a Chicago person, because she has people on talking about alternative methods of health care. Just like they, the Cattlemen's Association tried to run her out of town when she when she you know, basically blew the whistle on them. I'm not a huge fan of Oprah Winfrey. Of course, Oprah also is somebody that peddles a lot of junk food news.
Oh, indeed.
But the interesting thing is that, you know, occasionally when somebody does try to mention the truth about these really crucial issues, things that affect just, well, come on, hundreds of millions of people, you're starting to tread on their profits. You look in Project Censored from 2009, and we had an entire chapter about the whole Gardasil scandal, you know, about how they're mandating vaccines for immigrants, and they're trying to mandate vaccines. I mean, again, this is really what it comes down to. I think you hit the nail squarely on the head. I'm not a scientist, nor am I a medical professional. I'm not an alternative medical practitioner. I'm not an expert on the topic of vaccines. However,
we can read, Nikki. We can read.
I was just going to say that. Reasonable people that have done research and looked at these questions and problems can come away from this subject saying, gee, I think that there are a lot of different viewpoints and opinions out here that aren't getting a fair shake. In other words, censored. You know, and it was because, again, you're coming to get Gardasil. I mean, we're talking, these people are making hand over fist monies. You know, we're Pfizer, Merck, you know, the big companies, they stand to make literally billions of dollars. And you mandate a vaccine like that, and Gardasil is going for something like $400 a pop.
Oh, my goodness.
And if you're and you look and they're mandating it for people coming into the country, I mean, that's obviously a barrier. If you're poor, don't come here. If you can't afford to get this shot, and God knows what it'll do to you, and it might or might not work, and it might, you know, you have at least a 30% chance that it won't prevent anything. It might give you false security for sexually transmitted disease issues. They're also trying to mandate it for boys now, not just, you know, prepubescent girls. I mean, again, you get into the problems with this stuff, and you get a sheet a mile long with red light warnings going off on it. We're mm-hmm. somehow supposed to ignore that, and we're supposed to just line up and get inoculated.
And believe the hype that the major media puts out. For a while, they were going in high gear.
Well, swine flu kind of fizzled,
people.
Though, didn't it? It kind of fizzled.
Well,
because
I don't look at it all, so I don't know what the devil they're doing. But the little bit that I look at it seems to kind of go and fade and come and go and fade. And there's one case that really isn't confirmed, but they say it is, and they blow it up like the whole city has been quarantined, like New York City or whatever. But the only reason I raise it today, on July 3rd, we'll have a full hour on this topic with a glorious guest. The only reason I raise it now, Mickey, was to say to people, if anybody reads my article and sees the evidence that's in it that I certainly didn't accumulate, but I quoted a lot of people who did, experts, absolutely positively, no matter what is mandated, refuse, unless you want to take poison into your body, absolutely refuse to be vaccinated, not just for swine flu, but for anything else.
I think, again, the real problem here is, I mean, we could have debates and discussions about some of the science and some of the medical efficacy and these types of things. The real problem here is the word mandated.
It's shameful. It is shameful for the administration to shill for these corrupted drug companies and also distract us, Mickey, from the stuff we really should be thinking about.
Sure,
I think it's more than drug company profits. Be worried about
swine flu. Be worried about things. You know, it's just like when it's just like the terrorism alert level: orange alert, yellow alert, purple polka dot alert.
Oh, all for all for
it is, and it's designed as, you know, Pavlovian to, you know, stimulate the fear of the population, so they buy things, so they're more obedient, so they're more subservient. You know, I mean, you saw some of the more ridiculous cases in, you know, when Ashcroft and company and Ridge and company were playing with the levers of fear. You know, you had people in certain rural communities wrapping their houses in cellophane or plastic and duct tape and all kind of things. I mean, you know, it just totally short circuits and circumvents the critical thought process. And the issue with vaccines and medical issues, I mean, that's, again, another thing you can scare people with. You can scare people with terrorism. You can scare them with epidemics. And then people shut off the part of their brain that thinks critically and asks important questions, and you're not allowed to go and seek out information. And when all you're getting is the same message on all the channels, then people come to the conclusion that it must be true. And this is, of course, the real problem with censorship and how it very negatively impacts the population.
Oh, indeed, Vicki. And no matter how many times people figure out that our government lied to us about something like Saddam and weapons of mass destruction.
Oh, sure. We're not supposed to remember that. You're not supposed to have
that. You forget it, and they come right back again with another massive campaign that is pure hokum, and people buy it hook, line, and sinker.
Bait and switch, the elixir for what ails you. And if that doesn't work, we'll distract you with Britney Spears' sister's baby. Who Lindsay Lohan is dating this week. I mean, it's interesting you brought up the topic of, the big pharma and these things, because, again, this swine flu thing is a classic news abuse story, which we often couple with junk food news as a separate category, because news abuse is, okay, here's a story that might have some legs. It might be significant. It could be important to people. But the direction that they take it is completely ridiculous, completely distorted, and based on misinformation.
Well, when we come back from break, Mickey, I have another news abuse item that I wanted to include. And we can do that to the bottom of the hour and then jump back and talk about what's new with Project Censored. But let's take a break. We'll be right back.
This is RVN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the News Hour. On with Mickey Huff from Project Censored. Mickey, my other news abuse item is the Iranian election. And what really is bothering me is not the way the corporate media is screaming about this, but the way that people who are our allies on so many issues, they are screaming as well. They're calling fraud and so on and so forth, and the election was rigged. And
That's funny, I didn't hear a lot of that going on in 2000 or 2004.
I didn't hear a word about it. Well, these are the same people that deny those elections were stolen, and the evidence is so absolutely slam-dunk conclusive that there's no argument about it anymore, except by people who, for whatever reason, decide that they don't want to let the truth come out. But I'm into so much more. At least at this time, I don't have time to write about the Iranian election. Maybe later on I'll say something. But I'm very bothered about these demonstrations that have a rumor of 1953 about them.
True, with Mossadegh. And it's okay, however, to talk about voter fraud thousands of miles away. It's not okay to talk about it in your own country or in your own society or down the street at the local church where you might have cast a ballot that wasn't counted in the United States.
Oh, absolutely, Mickey. There's only one name I want to mention. I could mention a few names, but I'll mention one name, and that's a magazine, because the magazine just lets its readers down so often, and it's Nation Magazine. Nation Magazine supported the Afghan War back in 2001. I was a subscriber. I canceled my subscription because of that.
Canceled my subscription to them for other reasons.
Oh, there are lots of reasons.
They're called unconventional wisdom. It certainly is unconventional in some of their views in terms of they seem to be, they are purportedly some anti-establishment, left-wing kind of publication. But again, on some of these issues, you'd be hard pressed to figure that out.
Oh, absolutely. Well, one point I wanted to make, apparently there were two reliable independent polls within 2 weeks of the Iranian election that showed the current, the president and reelected president, Ahmadinejad, with a sweeping lead in the polls, something on the order of 2-1. Well, he won by a little less than 2-1. So let's face it, Iran is no model democracy. It's a theocracy. But
thanks in some part to what we had done.
My guess is that probably their election, the one that just took place, was more legitimate than at least the last two that we had, national elections. I can't vouch for that. I don't have affidavits to prove it. But it appears that it would have been a shocking outcome if Ahmadinejad lost, or if it was nip and tuck, and he even won, because he should have won by a pretty convincing margin.
Yeah, but I mean, yet, I don't doubt that there was, any time there's a ballot cast, there is a high likelihood that there'll be some fraud or foul play afoot.
There's always some.
But, I mean, for the nation, Robert Dreyfus is on the front page of their website and talking about the rigged election. And it's interesting that Peter Phillips, you know, the director of Project Censor, did a study on the left progressive press and the propaganda model in the 2008 censored book. It's chapter 7. And one of the issues looked at was how the left progressive journals covered certain issues like Building 7 on 9/11 or the Cuban Five or torture or the impeachment movement, 9/11 pre-warnings, NORAD failures. And, of course, one of the issues was voter fraud. And The Nation did talk about voter fraud in 2004, but only partial coverage. Again, and they left out major points, major issues that really showed how fraudulent the 2004 election was. Steve Freeman, of course, went on to write, you know, a whole book about this, the statistician from the University of Pennsylvania. And again, it's, it was something like a 250 million to one chance that the election actually ended up the way that it did. In other words, it was just a statistical impossibility.
Oh, absolutely.
And even the left press here, you know, you're, well, that sounds like a conspiracy. That's the immediate word that they go to. That's the standby. The standby to shut anybody up is to call them a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, that should not dissuade journalists from investigating difficult subjects, and it shouldn't prevent people from trying to get out the truth about really problematic issues. I think we should be much more worried about voter fraud in this country than somewhere 6,000-7,000 miles across the globe.
Well, absolutely, Mickey, and we should also understand very well, as I never have to explain to listeners of this program, that what the corporate media reports is guaranteed either to be junk news or, on the serious stuff, guaranteed to be distortion, propaganda, lies.
News abuse.
News abuse. Absolutely news abuse. And if you listen to it as I do, some, with extreme pain, at least know what the devil they do, so you're immunized.
There's that word again.
well, in this case, it's good immunization. There is good immunization.
I'm getting my vaccine of global research.
well, global research in this program, hopefully, and Project Censored.
Project Censored, we're trying to inoculate people from stupidity.
Well, to protect us against all of this stuff coming at us that is so harmful to our welfare, I stress this all the time, that sadly our government is working against our interest. And you name the issue, and the government is working against us. So if we don't protect ourselves, Mickey, nobody will, but we have to take another break. Let's come back and talk about what's new at Project Censored.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back to the News Hour. On with Mickey Huff from Project Censored. Mickey, I guess you put to bed the new Project Censored volume for 2010 yesterday?
Peter and I and the rest of the team at Project Censored just got another one off, and it's in New York now, and with the great people over at Seven Stories Press, and so we're going to be going through some editing stages and so forth. And then the official release date for the book is October 1. Molly Ivins had that earmarked for Media Freedom Day, and so that's the day that we celebrate the hope of having a truly informed society and operational free press. The top 10 of the 25 stories usually are published by independent weeklies somewhere around September,
And, of course, as you know, being a Project Censored Award winner yourself, we've got loads of other chapters and things in the book about media critiques, media problems, propaganda, et cetera. And this year's book is shaped up to be what I think a really, 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 really good one. Might be even one of the best ones yet.
Well, you make them better every year. Absolutely. I mean, they get bigger. They get better. They have all kinds of information in them. And Seven Stories publishes wonderful books. So it's wonderful to be linked up with them. And, well, we'll let listeners know when the book is out and ready to be purchased and how easy it is to do it. Oh, I've got at least half a dozen volumes, Mickey, on my shelves going back before I knew what Project Censored was, but I had no idea who the people were involved. So, and then I discovered the people, and I know why you do such a great job, because you've got such great people like you.
Yeah, well, I'm really fortunate to work with the project and work with Peter, and the Media Freedom Foundation is the nonprofit that sort of oversees what Project Censored does at Sonoma State, and we've been changing and expanding the scope of our operations. We now have over 30 colleges and universities doing investigative research and vetting of stories, and we've got colleges in South America now and Europe. We've got about another 15 to 20 professors that are interested and in line from across the U.S. Peter just received the Dallas Smythe Award in New York, and ran into many other people there who are interested, and we're adding more and more people to the roles here. And the real problem, and this is certainly a big theme on your show, is that corporate media has made itself irrelevant. It's a three-ring circus sideshow of spectacle and distraction. These institutions have failed to inform the American public about the crucial issues of our time. And, the Project Censored volumes are, I think, a great primer for folks that, may not be familiar with some of these issues. Of course, the listeners of your program are probably painfully aware of most of these issues. But I think it's a really great introduction for people on one level who don't understand how media censorship works in a purportedly free society. And on the other end of the spectrum, I think the book is academic enough and goes into enough detail on a number of points that, even people that are experts in the field, gain from it as well as participate with it. And so the growing of the project and the shifting of what the project is doing is really to make it a global movement against censorship.
Oh, without question, Mickey. And no matter how much time we may spend on the big issues, I certainly do it all the time. None of us know everything. None of us know a good deal about a lot of important things. And any one of us, including myself, could pick up your new volume when it's out, and you'll have a lot of material in it that will inform me of stuff that I didn't know before. So I think this is true for anybody. That book will be packed with vital information, and I think most important, Mickey, it just encourages people who read it to want to go out and find more on the things that are important. And you just do it as events move along and as we all have time. I'm retired, so I can spend all my time doing what I do. Other people, including listeners to this program, of course, they have regular jobs. They have family responsibilities, young kids to raise, or whatever. So there are lots of things that take our time that need to take our time, but we still need to find enough time to be informed enough, and I say this all the time on this program, not so much to be informed as to know the things we need to know to protect ourselves. Because if we don't do it, nobody's going to do it for us. And there is just awful stuff going on around us. Sadly, our government, and it doesn't matter whether it's a Republican or a Democrat administration, a George Bush or a Barack Obama, our government is there to help the privileged segment of society, and it's there to hurt us.
It's interesting. Project Censored has been accused oft of being a leftist organization, or a conspiracy. There's that word again, a conspiracy organization or a paranoid organization. Peter and I just finished a chapter the other day, and it's a chapter that analyzes what Project Censored has been doing. And what we did is we went back under the Clinton years. The project's been around since Jimmy Carter. In fact, one of the chief early stories was on the Trilateral Commission. And interestingly enough, we can go run that all the way up to Obama and allow all the Trilateral Commission people that he has appointed in his administration. Some things never change, I guess. But that was the point of the chapter. We went and looked at, well, what was Project Censor doing under Clinton, and what was Project Censor doing under Bush Jr.? And, you know, what we found was, whether it's on issues of violating international treaties, whether it's, you know, issues of police state or surveillance, whether whether it's arming the world, these things are going on, as you said, under Democrats. They're going on under Republicans. I mean, so why is factual investigative research left leaning? Why does seeking the truth have some innate ideological bias? That's the role of the free press. And what Project Censored is doing more and more is, instead of trying to help recirculate a lot of these undercovered stories and these censored stories, is more and more and more, we're doing our own investigative research. We're working on our own validated independent news through something called Media Freedom International. So we're going to have that website up and running soon, Media International, MediaFreedomInternational.org. All of the websites will be accessible through Project Censored. org, and this also involves our university college affiliate program, where we're going to be publishing stories year-round on the web. So we're still going to have the annual book, and Peter Phillips is stepping down as director. This is his 13th book, and Dr. Ben Frymer at Sonoma State will be taking over publication of the book after this summer. But Peter and I are going to be working through Media Freedom International on this round-the-clock, round-the-year publication of university college-vetted stories, researched independent news that's been validated and put out to the world. Corporate media is irrelevant. We have to inform ourselves. We have to take the responsibility to seek out fact-based stories about things that impact our lives. We can't rely on profit-driven institutions to do that for us. And as you said, the government is also involved in this problem. Because the people in halls of power are largely protecting capital. They're largely protecting the major moneyed interests, and they're not looking out for the public's interests.
Oh, is that ever an understatement? how true. That's,
it's amazing we jammed as much as we did into the one chapter. I mean, you could write entire books, you know, about these problems. But I'm really excited about the Censored 2010 book. I think you're going to like it, and I think what you said is, even people that are paying a lot of attention and doing a lot of their own research, I think you'll pick that volume up, and you'll definitely find something in there that you didn't know about.
Oh, absolutely, and the idea, Mickey, of continuing to follow and post on your websites ongoing stories on a day-to-day basis. There is so much good material around. I know the first time I ever got one of your volumes, the thought in my head was, there's an awful lot of good material around. I wonder how on earth you decide on 25, because you could easily pick another 25 and another 25 and another. I mean, you could keep this thing going. Because,
It goes through a really significant vetting process whereby there are certain criteria. If you go to projectcensor.org, the process is explained. But this is exactly the thing that you're hitting, you're getting on again, is that you could have more. What happens to, and we have runner-up, you know, we have runner-up stories, you know, 10 or 15 runner-up stories that didn't get in the top 25 kind of thing. And so this validated independent news and this college university-driven type information, validated independent news type system, is a way or an outlet for these stories to continue to get out. At Project Censored, they're vetted by students, professors, community experts, LexisNexis database. You know, we do a lot of research finding out where stories are covered, how accurate are they, et cetera, et cetera. And then national judges eventually, you know, go and rank, and everybody votes on these kinds of things. But more importantly, and again, back to your point, there are so many things that aren't being covered that are important to people's lives that we thought that we just need to really keep putting these stories out. So, yes, we're going to have the book. Yes, we'll have the rankings. Americans like lists. They like the top 10. They like the top 25. There's some ritual and pageantry in that, I suppose. But, you know, it's just too important of a process to limit to once a year.
Well, absolutely, Mickey. And there's breaking news on big issues all the time. So you never know what's going to hit at any time. So you want to get it out. You want to get people informed. And, I could pick a whole lot of topics that, that we would need the rest of the day to even begin to scratch the surface on. A big one that will be ongoing for a good number of months will be the so-called healthcare reform. I did one article on it, a few months ago and had a program, on with the head of Physicians for a National Health Program. In other words, Medicare for everybody. But there's some horrible stuff that the Obama administration is talking about. Nobody has any idea what's going to come out of this. But from the stuff that I'm hearing, Mickey, I think more of this information needs to get out. And let's just hope that what I'm hearing never happens, because they'll take a bad system, and make it far worse if there's some kind of a final plan that gets enacted into law. That includes the stuff I'm hearing, like really just wrecking Medicare and Medicaid, taxing people more for their coverage.
Well, that certainly makes sense for that business. It doesn't make sense for healthcare practitioners. It doesn't make sense for patients or citizens, you know, people in our society. That's another major issue where we see blatant censorship by the corporate press or significant distortion is of the single-payer option, where most healthcare professionals and doctors support it, most people support it. Yet you go and you take a look at, what Amy Goodman called Baucus's raucous caucus or whatever, an interesting mouthful that she had there. There were like 40-odd people at one of the hearings in terms of people testifying, and not a single person was able to talk about the single payer option, and several people were getting arrested because they actually had to stand up in the audience and say, why aren't you talking about the elephant in the room here? Why aren't you talking about single payer? Well, it's because single payer doesn't work for the insurance companies, and it doesn't work for the HMOs, and it doesn't work for the big pharma. It works for people. So yet again, that's a classic example of how, whether it's Republican or Democrat, These people in Washington and in state houses look out for the interests of the lobbyists. I mean, come on. That's such an undercovered story and problem. I mean, granted, people will joke about it and say, oh, big money in government and lobbyists and on. I don't think people realize the magnitude. Special interests paid Washington lobbyists $3.2 billion. That's B, billion, in 2008, which is more than any other year on record. It's a 13% increase from 2007, which broke the record before for the year prior. You can read about this at the Center for Responsive Politics. In 2008, lobbyists spent $32,000 per legislator per day. I think I actually mentioned this last time I was on your program. I had to bring it up again. Because that's an astounding root of the very problem that we're talking about. You could pretend we're not talking about healthcare for a minute, and you can insert another topic of your choice, and you're not going to get away from these two problems. Number one, lobbyists and big money in Washington, and the failure of corporate for-profit media to bother to notice how that affects the political system and creates an oligarchy. I mean, and that is, that 1-2 punch is going to prevent us from actually having meaningful change. So all we're left with is empty hope.
It goes right to the heart of the problem, Mickey. As long as money runs politics, there is no possibility to have anything but a sham of a democracy. Money talks. I don't remember the guy's name, but I remember back during the Clinton years, there was some guy representing a medium-sized company, and he used a line that I heard him say on TV that it's like going through the turnstile to get on the L train or something. He talked about you have to pay to play.
It's the revolving door problem. We're delighted to have Khalil Bandib's, really hard-hitting satirical cartoons in the Project Censored book again this year. And one of the themes, of course, this year is how the corporate media is not reporting news. They're junk outfits, they're crass commercial outfits, And another one, of course, is the ongoing corruption in our government system and the economic meltdown. And the revolving door politics is one of the root problems there. Khalil had a couple of really, really, you know, you talk about a picture being worth a thousand words. You know, some of the stuff that you'll see in the next book with some of his cartoons, if you haven't seen them already, you know, they might even be worth a $10 trillion bailout.
Well, I don't know about that. I didn't get any of that $10 trillion, neither did you.
That's because it doesn't really exist, I guess, but that's another abstract topic for another time. You know, this actually also dovetails from what, you know, where we started our discussion this morning was, you know, the idea of junk food news. Again, you know, so Project Censored started looking then at not just what the big media wasn't covering. They started paying attention to what they were covering. So instead of hearing about how lobbyists get $32,000, you know, give that kind of money per legislator per day, you know, we get to hear about Octomom or how Jessica Simpson, you know, her body mass index is fluctuating. I mean, you know, these groups say, well, we can't cover everything, big media. We can't do it all, you know, but they can give round-the-clock sensational coverage to almost anything they choose. Like the Anna Nicole Smith death a couple years ago, where CNN went over 90 minutes uninterrupted without commercial, the longest uninterrupted news, quote-unquote, broadcast since the attacks of 9/11. So you got these strange milestone bookends of corporate media culture. 9/11, the death of Anna Nicole Smith. I mean, it's absolute lunacy. It's completely maddening, and I think people are aware of it. And we just have to try to get more and more consciousness-raising efforts afoot to try to combat this problem of mass.
Oh, absolutely. The way to beat the corporate media is to ignore them. It's the one thing they're defenseless.
This is RVN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back to the News Hour, final segment with Mickey Huff for Project Censored. Mickey, a couple of things. We'll, after we get off air, I'll shoot you an email. We'll talk about getting you back on again.
Oh, absolutely.
I consider you a regular on the program. I mean, we have to keep doing this. But one thing I wanted to mention, when you're ready to talk about specific articles in the current 25, mm-hmm. let me know and we can schedule a special program for that. But Michelle jumped the gun a little bit and mentioned that three global research contributors were on the list. Can I mention one of the articles? Because he already had it up for a number of days.
Sure.
The one by Michael Hudson?
Mm-hmm.
It's a sensational article, although I said to him, he comes on the program often, and he'll be back July 1 to talk about this subject and his book, Super Imperialism, and a meeting going on in Russia right now with the so-called SCO or BRIC countries, the major countries, China, Russia, Brazil, India, and some other smaller ones there as well. But Michael Hudson's article, Economic Meltdown, The Dollar Glut, is what finances America's global military buildup. Oh, what an inspired choice that is. That is a super important article that most people would have no idea that other countries let us do what we do, and up to now at least, they literally have no choice, and he explains why. But there are rumblings beneath the surface. They're getting sick and fed up about it, which is the reason this meeting is going on, Mickey, as we speak right now in Russia, although it's dinner time or early evening. I don't know what they're doing. But a two-day meeting regarding de-dollarization, an alternate system.
Yeah.
Hudson thinks that this stuff may be pivotal, and there may be cracks in the dike, and there may be things germinating over the months and years ahead, and maybe America's heyday is on its way downhill very, very sharply.
Linked to the failures of the IMF and the bankrupt policies, you know, through the IMF. Yeah, Hudson's research has always been really good, and that's great. You're going to have him on again July 1st. I'll have to tune in and hear his updates.
He is sensational. He's a brilliant guy. and he tells the truth, and he's been on the inside. He knows the system. He knows how it works. He lays it out honestly. You have to pay close attention to him because he's so brilliant that if your mind wanders, you can lose him very easily. But he is worth the trouble to pay attention to.
He's another example of somebody that, you know, if we had a healthy and fully functioning system of media in this country, he would be somebody that wouldn't just be a regular guest on your program. He'd be a regular guest on CNN,
exactly.
Or Fox News. I mean, you know, that's again what we're saying. You know, again, back to that theme of junk food news or news abuse. It isn't that we lack people that are intelligent and investigating and really showing a lot of things that are going on. It's that the big media outlets won't give these people the time of day. And of course, you can understand why, because these people are pulling back the curtain. You know, these people are saying, hey, look what's going on over here. This is not in the public interest. This is completely corrupted. This clearly benefits a handful of people at the expense of many, and we can't tolerate this anymore.
Well, you tolerated a PC, Mickey. I do my best. There are a lot of other good people around who are doing the same thing. And truth-telling doesn't pay very well, but that music means they're going to break away. So the only thing I have time for is to thank you again for coming on. And I'll shoot you an email as soon as I hang up, and we'll talk about getting you back again.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Oh, Mickey, it's terrific having you on. I love having you on. Great discussions. Just don't have enough time. We need a lot more time. But I don't know about the host of the next program. He might object to that, so we've got to yield to him.
I see.
Do tune in tomorrow. We'll have another great program. David Ray Griffin on tomorrow.
Very good.
You'll be surprised to hear what he has to say. Tune in and listen. Back then.